So the passage I'm going to be talking about here this morning with you is from the book of John. And obviously John is one of the four Gospels. But John's Gospel is a little different than the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So he's the last one to write a Gospel. So I'm guessing he probably, you know, had a chance to look at the other ones and covered other things. And one of the things John does in his Gospel more is have these one-on-one interactions with people. And the one we're going to take a look at today is Jesus and Nicodemus, who came at nighttime to talk with Jesus. You know, that's where we get Nick at Night. I didn't know if everybody get that. But let's take a look at this in John chapter 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" I'm going to stop there. All right. Nicodemus. Who is this guy? Well, it says here, he is a Pharisee. And so something about the Pharisees, Jesus was always at odds with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were always the ones questioning everything that Jesus did and said. But not all the Pharisees were bad. Nicodemus is one of those good Pharisees that genuinely wants to understand more. But the Pharisees as a group, they believed that people had the ability to do good or evil. And by keeping the law, remember, they added to the law all kinds of laws that they made up themselves in an outward manner. If they kept those, they could, you know, themselves earn God's favor by keeping this law. And so Nicodemus, a Pharisee, was also a member of the Sanhedrin. And of course, you maybe recognize them because Jesus was taken before the Sanhedrin, where he was falsely accused and all that. But he was a member of the Sanhedrin. This was the highest Jewish court that its main duty was to enforce the Mosaic law, the law that Moses gave in the Old Testament. So there's a couple phrases here in these first verses that I wanted to talk about here. And the first one is truly, truly. So using these two Greek words back to back, the way Jesus did, it seems to be original to him, because nowhere else in Scripture does this appear. So another way to say this, as I have it up on the screen, is amen, amen. Which means it is certain, it is true. So in other words, whenever Jesus uses these words, he's going to use them two more times in this passage, pay attention to what's coming next, because it's going to be important. And to drive this, the importance of this point home, by saying amen twice, by saying sure, it's also translated surely, surely, truly, truly, amen, amen. By saying this twice, Jesus is indicating what he is saying is reliable and true. What Jesus says is the word of God because he is the word of God. And what he's going to say is true because he is the truth. Which leads to the second phrase that came up here in his talk with Nicodemus, born again. This phrase can be confusing to people. And it was confusing to Nicodemus. Did you guys get his response to that? Jesus says, unless you're born again. And Nicodemus says, well, he literally asks, does that mean I have to go back into my mother's womb? Did you get that? Does that make sense? No, Nicodemus. Silly Nicodemus. He's confused. He is literally thinking in terms of human. So another way to say this phrase here, born again, is begotten from above. And this rendering may help us understand it a little bit more. Born again, it means the same thing as begotten from above, but it's just a different way to translate these words here. So begetting from above is a begetting by the descent of the Holy Spirit that brings forth a new child conceived in the love of God through the removal of sin. Begotten from above. Nicodemus is confused by this, and a lot of people in our world today are confused by this born again. Because Jesus here is alluding to baptism. So let's talk about human reason here for a second. Because Nicodemus was trying to use reason to understand all this. That's why he said, you know, do I have to crawl back in my mother's womb? He's trying to make sense of it all. And sometimes we let reason, human reason, get in the way of faith. Christianity goes against everything in this world and against every other religion in the world. And there's hundreds of them. In every single one of those world religions, the person has to do something to obtain something, whatever it is in that religion. You know, technically, this makes sense to our earthly minds, right? Because in this world, we don't get anything for nothing. There's no such thing as a free lunch, right? Even if you do get a free lunch, then you feel obligated, right, to then get that person lunch. And then it just goes on and on. In order to get stuff in this world, in order to get money, houses, cars, clothes, grades, promotions, graduations, etc., no matter what it is, we have to work for it, right? We are in control of that stuff. And none of that stuff's bad, by the way. But we don't get it for nothing. We have to work for it. This is just the way of the world. Being a Christian is the opposite of that. Which is why it can be so tough for some people in this world. Because we're not in control. God is. Human reasoning can be an enemy of faith because it is fueled by our human nature, our experiences, and what makes sense. Human reason, darkened by sin, cannot accept that God can grant spiritual rebirth through ordinary water and God's word. Doesn't make sense. On the other hand, faith relies completely on God. Because I've said this before, if it was left up to us to make sense of all this faith stuff and all this Bible stuff, to make sense of the Trinity, to make sense of Jesus' body and blood being in with and under this bread and wine, can I explain that to you further? No. It doesn't make sense to our earthly brains, but we have faith because Jesus said so. We have faith because God's word tells us that we have three persons, one God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And baptism goes along with that. And if it was all left up to us and our human brains, I can only speak for my brain. Some of you, a lot of you have bigger brains than me. But I'd talk myself right out of it. which unfortunately some people have, because they can't wrap their heads around this stuff, just like Nicodemus was struggling. We struggle. Let's go on here. Jesus continues in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of water and the Spirit." And so now Jesus is making it more clear by pointing to baptism. Again, with the words water and the Spirit. He is talking about Christian baptism as we know it. And Jesus is informing Nicodemus how important being born of water and the Spirit is, being baptized. Because we become a new person. We are born again. We are begotten from above. We are a child of God through the waters of holy baptism. Jesus here uses the example of wind to describe how the Holy Spirit works. We humans can't govern the wind, can we? We can't tell if it's going to blow this way or that way. We can't, how windy it's going to be. We don't know where it's coming from. We can't see it. We don't know where it's going. We can't see it. This is the way the Holy Spirit works in us, in and through us. And when we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit who gives us that faith. Because remember, if it was left up to us, we'd be in big trouble. So we should daily remember our baptisms because we are given a new beginning from God. You can think about it. Every morning you wake up, remember your baptism. I am a new man. I am a new woman because of what Jesus did for me, because I have been washed clean in the waters of baptism. My sins have been forgiven. And yes, we continue to live as Satan sinner. You've probably heard that phrase before. We do continue to live as Satan sinner, which is why we confess our sins here every week. It's why we should confess our sins daily, confessing to God all the ways that we sin against him and our neighbor. And we continue to remember our baptisms, where we die to self and live for Jesus. Because that's what being a Christian is. And that's why it's the opposite of everything in this world. We are not in charge. Let's go on here. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things?" Here we go again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man," he's talking about himself. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So the truly, truly this time, as Jesus says, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. So Jesus is using the word "we" here because he's speaking for all the Old Testament prophets because he is the prophet. He's talking now about the new Christian community. He's talking about the church. He's talking about us. Nicodemus is struggling with all this because it doesn't make sense. He's thinking in earthly, humanly terms. He's trying to use the law manual, which focuses on us doing something. Jesus is talking about something that only he can do. The struggle is real, right? Like Nicodemus, we can fall in this trap to be thinking in terms of human ways, which makes sense, and values, instead of God's way and values. And then Jesus is going to land this part here, this plane, with an Old Testament reference. And you heard Pastor Sean talk about it with the kids. Moses in the desert, the children of Israel are whining and complaining again about the food, the water, whatever. And God sends in these snakes that start biting them. They start dying. Then he tells Moses to make this, I got a picture here, this pole with a bronze serpent on it. Doesn't make sense, does it? And if the people look to that, they are healed. What else does that look like? Jesus isn't just referencing some random event in the Old Testament. This is Crimson Thread stuff, people, which we will be talking about on Sunday afternoons. Shameless plug. What sense does this make? Same sense as Jesus being lifted up on the cross to die for our sins, which saves us. Let's look at these last two verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is probably, verse 16 is probably the most recognized Bible verse, even to non-Christians. You see it on signs at events, like sporting events. It's the gospel in a nutshell. And it talks about God loving us. Well, let's talk about love for a second. And this is something that I talk about in all the premarital classes, and there's some couples out here that are married, and there's some that are in the class right now. And I like to talk about this because it helps us understand something. Because in our culture, the word love is very watered down, right? I can say, I love my wife Zara. I love my four daughters. I love the Green Bay Packers. Do you see something? I love chocolate. I don't love the Packers as much as my family. They might disagree with that some days, but I'm not going to sacrifice myself for them or for chocolate or whatever. You see how the word can be misused or overused, the word love, and it's an English language problem because we only have one word for it. You know, a lot of times in our culture, love is treated like an emotion or feeling. Well, what's wrong with this? Emotions and feelings, there's nothing wrong with emotions and feelings, but they can come and go. And if we're treating love like that, that's a problem. In the Greek language, though, which is what the New Testament was originally written in, there are multiple words for love. There's phileo love, which is a brotherly, sisterly type love. It's where we get the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Phileo. I tell the couples, this is a good love, but it's not the love you want to base your marriage on. There's another one, eros love. It's where we get the word erotic. So you can tell that that's the sexual kind of love. And again, in the context of marriage, there's nothing wrong with that, but you don't want to base your marriage on that type of love. And then there's the other one. It's called agape. Agape love, which is a love that you are committing to the other person, willing to sacrifice for another. How much does Jesus love us? Well, guess what? In John 3:16, that agape word is the love that's being used. For God so agape-ed loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Doesn't it mean a little bit more knowing that? It's a love willing to sacrifice, which is exactly what God did. He sacrificed his son. How much does Jesus love us? He loves us this much. This much that he stretched his arms out on the cross, willing to allow those spikes driven into his hands and his feet with the crown of thorns on. I got a picture here. That's how much he loves you. And those same arms, by the way, that are stretched out on that cross are the same arms that will be greeting you when you get to heaven. Amen.